This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J Dog, and right next to me is a swell dancer, a author, a doting grandfather. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is also a baseball award presenter, another superlative you can add to the incredible accomplishments of the president and CEO and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Thank you. Yes, and you are so brilliant with your dot connections because Gold Crown presentation given out to Ryan Gold. They'll be at the – it was at the New Hampshire Baseball Dinner, or will be. And also, I'm a first pitcher, too, because I've been making sure to make the round. So I have thrown out a first pitch at the Vermont Lake Monster, New Hampshire Fisher Cats, and the Sea Dogs. But today, Jay, is all about community service and service. And I have one of my favorite people in my circle of friends is Colonel Hunt Kerrigan is joining me this weekend. So, and today. So thank you, Colonel. You are amazing. Your two sons are amazing. All the things that you've done for one, our country, but two, New Hampshire. And you have really two terrific sons who I've gotten to know over the past year. And we'll talk about them in a little bit. But let's start with you and tell us what your background is and how did you come up with a career in military? Oftentimes when I talk to other of your colleagues who have served the country many times, it's sort of generational in their family, sometimes not. So tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, Tom, it's great to be here. I really appreciate what you do for veterans, what Delta Dental does for veterans, and other organizations like Veterans Count and Phil and Julie Taub with Swimmeth Mission and Paul Fort with FedPoint. I mean, there's so many organizations within New Hampshire that really support veterans. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to wear my uniform today, was just to say thank you and honor you all for what you do for veterans. And I'm very excited to be here today. I'll get into this a little bit later, but my wife has been deployed now for about 5 months over to Kuwait. So I got daddy duty, major daddy duty with two boys, a 10-year-old and 13-year-old, and I'm learning all what that's about. It's amazing. But you're right, like a lot of military, I come from a military family. My father was a very wealthy living on Long Island, a very blue blood as such, and ran away from home at 16, 17 years old. This is the mid 40s, and joined the Marine Corps. And he served at the tail end of World War II. And then he did two tours of Korea. And what was interesting was Korea, of course, was just an absolute nightmare combat situation. It was freezing cold. But my dad received a battlefield commission. So one day he was a sergeant on the battlefield. And within an hour or so, he's a second lieutenant leading Marines. He ended up serving with six Purple Hearts and a Silver Star. So he taught me all about serving God, freedom, and country, which is something that's resonated in my life now for years. And so, yes, I do come from a military family, and it was a great experience. And then with my dad being overseas, I ended up going to school in Scotland. So I can talk to you a little bit about that if you'd like.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about that. So let's get back to the Korean War, because sometimes it's, you know, not dissimilar to Vietnam War. People don't like to talk about it a lot for various reasons, but I'm into the Korean War because one of my baseball heroes, although I never saw him play in person, was Ted Williams. And of course, he had two tours of duty in the military, one in World War II, and then he was not really extremely happy that they called him back to the Korean War. And in both situations, he wasn't window dressing. He was a fighter pilot. So I've really studied the Korean War. His daughter, who's been at the baseball dinner, basically I chatted with her, and it was pretty amazing what he accomplished. Like your dad, he didn't get all those medals like your dad, but was a fighter pilot. And he actually, if you look at his career, he took 5 years out, probably in his prime. And while he's still considered the best hitter of all time, just give him four or five more full seasons and he would have been, right up there. Instead of 521 home runs, he might have had 721 home runs. But the whole point is, like your dad, you know, he served our country. And I'm glad you mentioned Veterans Count, because all the work that they do and you help promote is so important. And for those veterans listening to us today, and there'll be a huge audience because the colonel's on, but if you have oral health issues and not because of the people at VA, but because of congressional guidelines. Most of the time, you won't be able to get your oral health needs met at the VA. So just give me a call at 223-1300, and I'll connect you with Dr. Mitch Carey, and we'll go from there. So back to you. So
I'm glad you mentioned about the VA, by the way. I want you to know Kevin Forrest, and the VA is just very supportive of military. When I first arrived in New Hampshire, I felt so supported by the VA. And yes, you've got to be intentional, and yes, you've got to show up. At the end of the day, the VA is fantastic. And just on another note, you mentioned how you're giving out that phone number. When I heard you first do that, I think I was on Jackie's show listening to you. It was just amazing. So I wanted to just recognize for what you do, because dental care is very important. And especially if you're not getting it through the VA as a veteran, you can't afford it any other way, getting it through what you offer and what your dentist offers is fantastic. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And for veterans listening out there, there's both self-esteem issues. So you can go to a family party. I know that Mitch and I mean, we're brought to tears sometimes when a veteran brings us back up and says, I was able to go to a family reunion because I felt more confident. So there's that aspect of it, but it's also medical, dental, systemic relationships. And, you know, if you don't have strong enough teeth and good teeth, you're going to have gum issues, which leads to, you know, other issues. And then if you can't eat fruit, you'll have other issues. So please take care of your teeth, but give me a call at 223-1300. You'll either hear from me directly or Dr. Mitch Carey. The only thing I would ask, gentlemen, and most of them are men, but we occasionally have a veteran who's a woman, just please leave your phone number, because sometimes you don't. And I listen to a really great story, but then I have to get my IT people, my information technology people, to come here and track down your phone number. But back to you, Colonel. So you mentioned that you went to high school in Scotland. So how was that? You know, high school is kind of your formative years and you want to be with your friends. And so here you are, you know, with a whole new group of people. So tell us what it was like going to high school in Scotland. And did that give you a international perspective that's helped you in your career and life?
Well, we moved to Dublin, Ireland when I was about 13 years old. And the educational system was good in Ireland, but my father sent me off to school in Scotland. Back in the 70s, the mid-70s, it was very fashionable in Europe to send your kids to boarding school. And my brother went to Harrow on the Hill, which is the same school that Winston Churchill went to. But my academics was not quite as strong as my brother's. So I went off to a boarding school in Scotland, in the Highlands, north of Edinburgh in Perthshire. And it was a tough school. I mean, you know, we had guys there from a lot of the old colonies of Britain. We had them from Canada, Hong Kong, South Africa, and there's about 300 of us in this school, and the academics were tough, but we did a lot of hiking. We did expeditions, we did 60-mile expeditions. We really learned how to interact with each other and do a lot of sports. I played rugby. It was a great experience, and you're right, it helped me being able to interact with individuals from Hong Kong or South Africa or Canada. And then that skill that I learned I was able to use later on in the military when I traveled around the world, when I was in Iraq or Afghanistan or Estonia. So it was a great experience. Rugby was great. And it's just, but it's so funny because now with my boys, I'm not sending them to boarding school. I'm keeping them close and maintaining that family integrity.
Awesome. So did it give you also a perspective? I think, you know, some Americans do travel, but many don't. And I know that, you know, sometimes America's viewed as the world revolves around us, and it really doesn't. So did it kind of give you a perspective? And how did your classmates from all across the world, you know, think of you as an American? Or were you just like one of the boys?
No, it was not easy being an American at that school. It was tough. Americans didn't have a very good image in the 70s. Because we thought the world evolved around us. But yet, you know, when I started interacting with guys from South Africa, they thought the world evolved around them. But we were young enough to learn how to kind of work with each other. Then we started playing sports. As I mentioned, we played rugby, there was cricket, there was all these other sports that I'd never seen before. And it was a great experience. I'm still in touch with some of my friends. And again, it laid the foundation of, you know, interacting with individuals from different parts of the world, different cultures. Really is one of the best educations you can have. And I tell young people, one of the reasons why I've enjoyed the military so much is I've got to travel anywhere from Estonia to Afghanistan to Iraq to Germany to Panama. And when you travel and see these cultures and see just how difficult it is in a lot of these countries, when I was in Estonia, the Russians had just moved out in 1994. And, you know, just what an incredible country we have here in the United States. And it just makes you very thankful.
Sure. So since we're talking about some of your travels, tell us your career, what you feel your career highlights. Obviously, super accomplished. So tell us about, you know, some of your career highlights. And then how are we blessed to find you here in New Hampshire?
Well, I joined the Army in 1983. I needed money for college. I'd gone through college at Norwich University, and I needed some money. So I ended up enlisting in the Army as an old cavalry scout on the East German border. So here I was at 23 years old. A lot of my contemporaries were out partying and having a good time. And I'm driving a new vehicle called the Bradley, like a $3 million vehicle, on the East German border facing the communists. So it really grew me up. Quickly at 23 years older than that, then stayed with me for the rest of my career.
Amazing. So I see Jay. So Jay, this is pretty exciting listening to the Colonel, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And we're going to hear more from the Colonel, Colonel Hunt Kerrigan, and Tom Raffio as well. Northeast Delta Dental Radio, as Northeast Delta Dental Radio returns after this brief message here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. We're back. It is Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and this week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio is Colonel Hunt Kerrigan. And Tom, you're having a great conversation, and I want to keep the train going, so please, by all means, take it away, and I'll hear from you in a little bit.
It's like having a conversation on my family living room couch. So, so when and why did you move to New Hampshire, Colonel?
Well, I'll just take one step backwards. So one of my highlights of my career was serving as a brigade commander in the Alaska National Guard. So I had about 1,000 soldiers or so I was responsible for. And I got together with a young NCO, and in the military, presenting coins, challenge coins, is a really time-honored tradition. So he and I worked together on a coin, and I brought it with me.
Ah.
We'll just see if you can see that okay. And on my coin, it has three really important leadership qualities. One is integrity. The other is wisdom, and the other is compassion. If you notice, integrity is at the very bottom because it's the foundation of all we do. And I would teach young soldiers that what you do is with integrity is that you do the right thing, even if anyone, if no one's looking at you, you still do the right thing. And then the idea of wisdom is making good decisions, having a battle buddy, a friend. If you're not sure what to do, reach out to that individual. So having wisdom, making good decisions is important. And then finally, compassion, really caring for soldiers, and caring for their families, which is where Delta Dental comes in and FedPoint, where I serve now. These organizations that really rally around active duty, retirees, and families. So I served as a brigade commander, then served in Afghanistan as a senior guard advisor, and then served in the Pentagon, my last tour of duty in 2015, working for the Secretary of Defense. It was a great experience. So my wife, I'm at an event with the Adjutant General of New Hampshire, the top general. And I mentioned that I'm retiring, but I mentioned that my wife's a civil engineer in the Air National Guard, and he leaped out of his chair like, "We need civil engineers." That never happens to me, by the way. But whenever I mention a civil engineer, like, you know, all of her college work and graduate work really paid off. So she applied for a position, got a position at NPE's, and serving building or helped to build the hangars for the KC-46s. So she did that for about 3 years. And I can tell you that I had served in the military, driven tanks, jumped out of airplanes, served in Afghanistan, but nothing prepared me for taking care of two little boys. I think there were 5 and 3 at that time, full time. And I was like, send me back to the Pentagon, because Steph was gone, my wife. She was working every day. So I'm with the boys, trying to get them to school, get them together and out the door. And thankfully, we put them in the Portsmouth Christian Academy, run by a retired Army Colonel, Mike Rooney, and that has been absolutely fantastic. So we moved to New Hampshire after living in Alaska for many years. We call New Hampshire kind of like Alaska Light. It's so beautiful here. We enjoy it, and there's just so much support here. Individuals like Renee Plummer I've met, Greg Whalen, Phil and Julie Taub, Paul Fort, and just so many individuals like yourself who really support the military. So one of the things we did after getting settled here was start this organization called the New Hampshire Military Coaching Alliance, which I've talked to you a little bit about. What we realized is that what individuals need, warriors need as they transition to New Hampshire, is basically an organization that assigns them a mentor if they want one. That's what we do in the military, so much mentoring. And I didn't see that when I came here. So I got together with Jack Heath and others. And so we had this organization, affectionately known as Operation Sea Daddy, because in the Navy, when you're assigned a ship, you're assigned a Sea Daddy. And we have about 10 or 15 now in the program who have been through the program also. And as someone moves into New Hampshire, whether it's a one-star general, a sergeant, or a Navy SEAL, we assign them a mentor. And that's worked really well. That's been a huge blessing. And in fact, we meet every third Thursday. And in fact, we're going to meet this coming Thursday, actually on the 15th of September, we're going to meet at the Stoneface Brewery in Newington at 5 o'clock. So if anyone's interested, you can meet us there about the organization. There's no money involved. It's just basically veterans and CEOs like yourself and leaders like Paul Ford and Phil Topp who care about veterans. So that's something I'm involved in. And then, as I mentioned, you know, taking care of my boys, and my wife is and has been deployed now. She's been gone for about 5 months. We have another month left. So I've really learned, and I salute single parents because it is definitely
it's the toughest and most rewarding assignment at the same time, you know, for sure. And I love that integrity, wisdom, compassion, and you of course have that, you know, commitment to passion. So you mentioned Paul and FedPoint. So tell us how your engagement with FedPoint, how that's been able to facilitate this kind of transitioning, helping military retirees transition. And if I'm new here and I just retired from the military, is there a phone number that I can call to get in touch with you?
Well, actually, the best way to do it is if you just do it through the New Hampshire Military Coaching Line, which is a great way to do that.
Okay, great.
Well, it's nhmca-osd.com, or you can just Google that way and get on their website and get in touch with us. But yes, I heard Paul Ford talking as a CEO about wanting to hire veterans on the radio. I met with Paul Ford. At the timing was just right. Basically, FedPoint is an organization that administers federal benefit programs, and it does the federal dental and vision program that impacts on more than a million military communities around the world, military retirees and families and active duty families. And so what my job is, amongst other, we have other veterans, is that we get the word out. But more than that, FedPoint really cares about veterans. In fact, I noticed when I had not started working yet, I took 2 years off, there were three organizations that I noticed that were very supportive of going to all the veterans events. One was a Service Credit Union. Two was FedPoint. And the third was the governor. Governor Sununu was like at all these military events supporting veterans. And I thought to myself, as a veteran getting out after 32 years, where do I want to serve? And I ended up serving at FedPoint. And it's just a great organization. And Paul Ford's a brilliant leader. And it's an organization that, a business that we really care about each other. It's the closest thing I've seen to the military. And so I'm enjoying serving there.
Yeah. And Paul, of course, Paul and I have get together every once in a while. Tremendous leader, like you said, and obviously, you know, huge, huge supporter, you know, of the military. Let's spend a little bit more time on the Military Coaching Alliance. I know you've talked about it already, but how do you think a retired military, are they aware of this in New Hampshire? And do you get on the events like the one coming up? I mean, do you get a good turnout? And is it just people networking and learning from each other? And as you said, I'm a big believer in both being a mentor and a mentee. So tell us what a typical meeting is like, and do we need to promote that alliance a little bit more?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because at the end of the day, it's really not many of us who get together and we meet and we connect veterans with leaders. And again, there's no money involved in this. It's just veterans helping veterans. And I think now what we're going to do, now that we have kind of a lot of structure, COVID kind of put things somewhat on hold, but now that we have structure, we're going to probably reach out and let people know about this, because typically it's been done word of mouth. Individuals get together, if they're looking for a position, we connect them maybe with a CEO, maybe Tom, if there's someone who wants to move into the healthcare industry as a retired colonel or retired sergeant first class who's involved in healthcare in the military, I would connect you to and say, Tom, would you like to be Sergeant Frank Smith's mentor? And I'm sure you'll say yes, and you guys will meet and become the best of friends. It's not just mentor to a job, it's actually mentor for the rest of your life, that you guys are building a relationship, a connection that will last for a long time, because it's not just getting the veteran the job, it's the housing, it's the culture, it's like, whoa, what's a resume, you know, how do I do this? Yes. You know, and you know, so it's kind of navigating through this absolute mist or fog of the thing called the business world, or a totally different culture that we're not used to. So I have found that almost everybody I've reached out to, particularly CEOs and leaders, they're all like, absolutely, I want to be a mentor. So we have a list of mentors, and as individuals, as leaders, or correction, well, as leaders and as warriors move into New Hampshire, warriors meaning veterans, and those who maybe served 2 years or 3 years in the military, we connect them. And it's been very successful. We just had an event at the 100 Club.
And what we have found, those of us that are in position to hire people, and we have a fairly significant group of veterans who work for us, and we every year we do a little recognition for them. But obviously, I mean, if you've been trained in the military, I mean, you know that 8:30 means 8:30, if not earlier.
That can be 20, but yeah.
Right. All of the what I call the softer skills, interpersonal skills, working as a team, being reliable, being resilient. I mean, these are the people that sort of thrived, you know, during the pandemic. So I know that if a retired military, you know, hooks up with someone in business, they're gonna get it, you know, after about 15 minutes, because of course they've had the the best training, and really they don't necessarily call it, you know, the Baldrige training, but that's pretty much what it is. So in a couple of minutes we have less, tell me about your two wonderful boys who when we see each other at different events or in radio work,
right,
usually you have them with, and I'm always amazed, and we saw them at a baseball game, I'm always amazed with what they're doing. And as you said, it's both exhausting but delightful, I'm sure, to be the single parent while your wonderful wife is deployed and, you know, serving in the country. So tell us what the two boys are up to.
Well, my youngest, Daniel, plays the bagpipes, interestingly enough. And in fact, he's going to be playing the bagpipes on September the 11th at a senior citizen summit in Portsmouth. And he also plays like football. He loves all these sports. Well, my oldest, as you have met, is very much into history and World War II and Lego. It's just incredible how different they are. But, you know, one thing I've really learned, I try to give some thought to this discussion where we're going to have two things I've learned being a parent. I know everyone's going to smile at this, but boy, there's a saying out there. It's called find the good and praise it. And I'm really working that with my boys, to really find the good and praise them and encourage them. And they are just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. And then the last thing I really learned, which is actually from the Old Testament book of James, is be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, meaning be quick to hear and be quick to listen, but be slow to anger. And I've really learned that that's important, being a dad and just a leader. So finding the good, praising it, and then just listening, and then be swift to do those things, I think is very important.
Yeah, it's amazing. It just sounds amazing. But of course, they get that from their dad. And J Dog, the son that's into history, you would love, we could take a 3-hour show, because at the baseball game, very sort of esoteric historical allusions of World War I and World War II and other things. He knew more than any adult I've ever talked with. So I think
put him on Jeopardy.
Exactly. So Colonel Karen, thank you for, one, your service to the country. Thanks for your wife's service, continued service. And thanks for working with FedPoint to help our veterans. And, you know, we need to do more for our veterans. So thank you very much and appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you, Tom. And J Dog, thanks for all you do. I really appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Colonel Hunt Kerrigan, as well as Tom Raffio, Colonel Hunt Kerrigan of FedPoint, and Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're concluding this week's edition. Fear not, we'll be back with another one next week here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.